I think PLG requires like a community, a strong presence online, right? Like a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of buy-in from a community. And most startups that we work with don't have that. Like we don't actually come across PLG being a very common tactic that like are that's being employed. We have had clients where they do use it because they had an open source product, right? And they have a huge community built out of that. We have other clients that will come and they had like, hey, inbound is working really well because they just figured out ads really, really well, right? But you need all channels humming still, right? So even if you have your community or you have your inbound ads or organic or your referrals or whatever, you still need that outbound component because this is a channel again, right? And you want to ideally, as you grow, have all channels.
Hi, and welcome back to the Hard to Market podcast. I am here today with Shaheem Alam from Five Rings Marketing. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
So if you could give our audience a little bit of background about your sort of history in marketing or how you started Five Rings, that'd be super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the CEO of Five Rings Marketing. And it's interesting with marketing because I've always had a mix of sales and marketing experience. Started in door-to-door sales, did that for like 5 years. Learned a lot over there, eventually moved on to tech sales. And at Five Rings Marketing, it was really how we got started was my wife and I, we started the company together. She actually had it as a side hustle in the beginning. And at one point, she was getting a lot of job offers from multiple companies. And she has this very successful friend who said, well, instead of working for one of them, why don't you start a company and help all of them? And so that's how we partnered on it. Initially we started with a lot of LinkedIn prospecting and that kind of marketing to now being a full service agency, where we have both outbound and inbound, sales and marketing services.
So, as you know, we have pretty much nothing but marketers or marketing agencies on the show. So what makes yours particularly hard to market, let's say, compared to some of the others out there?
Sorry, you cut out there for a second.
What makes your show difficult to market? Or what makes, I'm sorry, what makes your business difficult to market?
Got it. I think what makes our business difficult to market is the fact that there are tons of other agencies out there that are doing something similar or doing the same thing or doing bits and pieces of what we're doing. So there's a lot of competition, and you have people, you have companies that are charging retainers of like $300 and $500 per month, right? You have companies that are charging per lead, like hey, pay per lead or revenue share or those kinds of models. Those are usually, a company of like one or two people, right? Not high overhead. And then you have like the high end agencies that are charging like $10,000 per month on a 1 year contract, $25,000 go to market plans, so on and so forth. So it's there's a lot of noise out there, and then now with AI coming into the mix, there's even more noise. All these AI companies are saying that they can, fully automate your top of funnel for you, from getting the leads to contacting them to getting them into your funnel with automated calendar bookings, et cetera, right? And I've tried those tools. They're not there yet. We're not there yet, technology wise, but. What makes hard makes it difficult is standing out in the noise and then differentiating ourselves. That's what makes it tough to market.
So what's your strategy for doing that?
So a couple of different things. One thing is just with our service offerings, we're I'm not going to say the only, there might be more out there, but I haven't come across an agency right now that's doing full service, meaning we do the outbound sales stuff, your cold calling, cold emailing, LinkedIn prospecting, providing BDRs, SDRs, that kind of service. And then also doing inbound, PPC, LinkedIn ads, Google ads, SEO, content marketing. So kind of getting that full range of outbound and inbound services, because what that allows us to do then with our customers when we're selling is instead of being an SEO agency that says, hey, yeah, do SEO. It's going to get you leads. Or hey, do cold calling. That's all we do, and that's what's going to get you leads. We're able to provide our customers with like what's best for them. What channels are their customers actually most active on? What are their competitors doing? And then propose the right strategy for them rather than having to only be able to provide the only service that we provide and saying it's the best thing, right? So that starts to differentiate us in the sales process.
So what are you doing to get that message out there in front of your prospective buyers?
Yeah, that's we do a lot of like outbound prospecting for sure. And then on our website, it's hard, right? Because you can't have a blog talking about sales and then talking about Google Ads as well. It just doesn't work. So we're trying to have content around everything as far as our website goes, as far as our LinkedIn presence goes. Same thing, putting content together around all these different things, ideas, making sure our website reflects that. And then in our outreach, we try to focus on, because there's a segment of customers where a specific service will be more likely the best bet and the best channel for them. So we try to sell that service to them versus another service to another segment. We try to segment by services because we understand that a little bit better too. And then there's also just the initial competitive analysis to see like, hey, what would work for you? Like a go-to-market analysis almost. That sells pretty well too as like a hook. So we're using that as a hook as well.
So are you charging a fee for that initial go-to-market eval?
No, no, we're not. It's part of our sales process.
Okay.
Because it's how we determine what to propose to them.
Right. So you've got a sort of a freemium style offer where they come, they get that analysis, and then you can upsell from there. That describes your funnel. But the cold outreach part of the conversation I'm really interested in too, getting folks to actually come and take action. What is your approach there? How are you getting that sort of itch scratched so that you can actually put stuff in the top of that funnel?
How do you mean? Like,
how are you finding folks to put into that market analysis? Where are you getting them? What are you doing to inspire them to take that action?
Yeah. Because
there's a huge difference between seeing a site and pressing the okay button. Like, here's my email address. Mm-hmm. So how are you inspiring that action?
Yeah, for sure. So how we're doing it is, it's kind of like the good thing is we can use our own service here, right? Because we do cold outreach for our clients, so we're drinking our own champagne. And so I have a research team. My research team goes in and builds like really qualified lead lists using Sales Navigator, using database tools like Sales Intel, and goes through various, like, we don't just rely on, oh yeah, like software companies filter within this company headcount, right? The team's going through each company one by one, qualifying them. What's their ticket size? What's their makeup of their company? Like, how many salespeople or SDRs do they have? Are they active on LinkedIn? Are they not active on LinkedIn? So on and so forth. What kind of software are they? Because we know we have success with a bunch of different types of software companies, but we know where we don't have success, so we avoid those ones. So the research team is doing a lot of upfront work in building these lead lists. And then we prospect to them, through LinkedIn, whether it's my BDR, whether it's me, whether it's someone else on my team. We're reaching out to them on LinkedIn, connecting, starting a conversation, booking sales calls. I have people cold calling them as well. We have a really solid cold calling script that's focused on doing like very deep discovery on the call itself and having a relevant conversation. So we're doing those things. I post a lot on LinkedIn and it just kind of, they usually say like the people that like and engage with your posts aren't the ones that are actually buying. But it's like the silent kind of like the watchers, right? That it starts to influence a lot. So that's happening. And then, we started to get a lot of inbound leads as well, just from our website. Like, it's like good 2 years of SEO and content work finally starting to, pay some dividends. So, yeah.
So how is that translating? I mean, obviously the inbound stuff should bring down your client acquisition costs, but what is your current sort of acquisition costs per client, and how do you expect that to change over the next year with the inbound increase?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't have the exact number. I'd have to ask my finance person, because we do have it somewhere. What I do know though is our payback period is less than 2 months. And that's
gotcha.
What I guess, like, that's the metric I care about as the owner of the company, is like, what's our payback on our CAC? Right. A metric I like to go by is like, you should make your money back within 90 days. We try to be more aggressive and we try to get it back within 30 days, but we land somewhere around like 45 days,
No, that's awesome. So your process here, so do you know what your lifetime value for clients is, just out of curiosity, for, you know, ballpark? Obviously no specifics required, but for the other folks that are listening that might be in a similar kind of setup.
Yeah. Our lifetime value for clients is, you know, around like the 50K.
Gotcha.
50K, 100 to 100K, like in there, in that kind of range.
Gotcha. And by the time that they're sort of through with you, you're, you know, super successful at getting them to the next level, and then they need a bigger agency or they in-house. Is that the typical exit for your client base?
So it goes a few different ways. Like they can take what we've created and bring it in-house. Usually what happens though is, that is something that happens. But then we released a new service to kind of tackle that as well, where we'll provide a full-time rep that works only for them, right? And so gotcha. That rep can kind of take on and do that. So what ends up actually happening is our clients will kind of progress through our services. They'll start with something super fractional, then they'll progress to the next step, which is more like I mentioned, full-time kind of resources, or they'll expand to our other marketing and content services. What is the biggest, I guess, challenge and something that we see is right now, a lot of our clients are in the tech world. Like most of our clients are tech startups, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's challenges in that industry right now, getting the next round of funding. People are not necessarily, companies aren't necessarily investing in new products right now. There's just challenges of just selling a new software product to, you know, mid-market enterprise customers where you're just a new player in the game. So a lot of time what ends up happening is our clients have to kind of pause, figure out what they're doing, whether it's revenue-wise, fundraising-wise, product-wise, building new features. And they take a lot of learnings they get with us to build those new features too, and then come back to us again in the future to continue. So it's a lot of that is what I see happens. Unless, of course, we absolutely, you know, just don't produce at all, which happens time to time. But most of the time, it's the fact that startups need to figure it out, how to get more revenue, how to get more funds, how to figure out their product in the market.
So I didn't get a chance to ask this yet because I kind of slipped my mind, ironically, but that, so your ideal client profile, at least from what it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that they're, you know, usually B2B tech SaaS. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So with a marketplace like that, how are you helping? I mean, most of those folks are going, you know, PLG for a lot of this, and product-led growth kind of model for getting folks onboarded. How are you like adding on to that value prop as a company? And this is a chance to essentially like give us a little more insight as to what happens behind the scenes when you get a new client, you know, the onboarding process, and how are you moving them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So PLG requires, I think PLG requires like a community, a strong presence online, right? Like a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of buy-in from a community. And most startups that we work with don't have that. Like we don't actually come across PLG being a very like common tactic that like that's being employed. We have had clients where they do use it because they had an open source product, right? And they have a huge community built out of that. We have other clients that will come and they had like, hey, inbound is working really well because they just figured out ads really, really well, right? But you need all channels humming still, right? So even if you have your community or you have your inbound ads or organic or your referrals or whatever, you still need that outbound component because this is a channel again, right? And you want to ideally, as you grow, have all channels. So we're a channel, right? So if we're doing the outbound side of things, then we're an additional channel for them. Most of our clients, though, in the early stage, they need conversation. They just need conversations with the right people and with the right companies. And that's what they have a hard time getting. They also don't have the time to focus on it. It takes a very concerted effort, right? You have the research team. You have the people reaching out. You need the A/B testing on the scripts. So all this stuff, they don't have the time to do it. They're founders, right? So that's where we come in. And then companies that are a little bit more established, they have sales teams, you know, where we're supporting the sales teams. Sales teams doing their own prospecting. Again, this is another channel tacked on top of it.
Gotcha. So that, you know, in those environments, you're really helping round out the rest of the marketing presence sort of broadly, right?
Yeah. Either we're the ones like kicking off their, you know, from scratch, or we're, yes, rounding off their current sales and marketing efforts.
So you've worked now with, you know, dozens or more of these sort of B2B tech SaaS startups. What are they consistently getting wrong? What are they keep coming to you and they're just like, yeah, we haven't figured this out yet. And we don't know what to do now. What's the challenge?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that we see very often. There's two things. One is, yeah, they'll come to us and they say, yeah, like I need conversations with the right people, right? They try it, it doesn't work. And again, it's because it requires like just a lot more effort than just identifying some people on LinkedIn and reaching out. It requires so much follow-ups. It requires so much testing on the messaging. It requires reaching out to the right people in the first place, right? Looking at each profile and pre-qualifying them before you even reach out to them. So that's like the first challenge that they come with. It's like, well, they need conversations, they need sales meetings. The other thing, which is something that they don't realize, which I'm starting to have more and more conversations with our clients about, is, well, they think that if they get 15 meetings per month, they're going to close, you know, 20% of them, 30% of them, and then they're going to get the revenue and they're going to close these deals in 2 or 3 months and they're going to hit their Series A and it's all going to be, you know, according to plan.
Sunshine, rainbows. Yeah.
Yeah. What they don't realize though is that there's a difference between closing deals from people that you knew, from people that were referred to you, from warm inbound leads, as opposed to cold outbound. Cold outbound, you have to double the sales cycle, like basically immediately. Like they're not in the market necessarily, right? You have to nurture them. So the sales cycle is longer. Also, you have to have a proper system in place to take them through a sales process, right? Like a customer that's in the market will kind of take you through their buying process, right? But cold, you have to really have very concrete next steps set up. Like, okay, from here, we go to here, from here, we go to here. And you need to know that and have that like a proven system. So a lot of our clients being in the stages that they are, honestly, even like later stages that we've seen that have been like spoiled, I'm putting that in quotations, like spoiled with inbound leads, they don't have that process in place. And so then they struggle to close. So now they're not going to get a 20% close rate on 15 meetings. They'll get like a 5 to 10%. And they're going to take 6 months to close. So now they need either a lot more investment into a lot more upfront leads, or they need investment into a sales process, or they need to readjust their goals. And that's the reality of the situation. And those are some conversations I'm really starting to have now with clients.
Yeah, we run into that a lot as well with it comes to not having an effective sales process that you can then scale. You know, you get good leverage out of an organization like yours that can, you know, act as a force multiplier. But if you don't have something that works first, by the time you get there, it's going to be like you're force multiplying something that can't yield results. And so I think it's interesting. So have you helped any of your clients navigate that process of creating that funnel?
Yeah, we do. It's kind of like it's not something I'm selling today. Maybe I'll sell it in the future, but it's like when you're working with us, we're your partners in that, we're your advisors in that. So a lot of times myself or my director of client strategy, Shane, he'll meet with clients and we'll just talk to them. Hey, like, what does it look like? How do you hold your first call? We advise them on that. We have some documents we share with them too, to creating like a good discovery call. And then what's your next step? Advising them on what that next step should be. And then what it should follow up with afterwards, how to follow up to keep moving these leads along your funnel. So we advise our clients and provide them with some guidance around that. It's not a full blown sales consulting thing for sure. We'd have to charge for that, but we do advise them on that just as kind of as part of our services. Something else that slipped my mind. That's okay.
Okay.
Maybe it'll come back. But yeah, we do advise them.
So, you know, for the folks that are listening here, who should reach out to you and how can they get a hold of you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if people listening, they're marketers, working for a company that where they might not have the resources, that's where we've find a really good fit. A lot of our best clients have been, you know, a single marketing person, like the first and only marketing hire at a company that just needs help. It could just be needing help with execution and they can lead the strategy, right? So that is something like, yes, get in touch with us. We can be the execution arm. You'll be the strategy arm and we'll work together that way. And if there are any, you know, founders, CMOs, VP of marketing that are just looking to scale what's already working or add on another channel to round that out, definitely reach out. We'll be that channel that'll get you, you know, X amount of leads every single month to support everything else that you're doing.
Awesome. And our wrap-up question, in your marketing journey so far, what are the three biggest things you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I think one thing that I've learned is positioning is very powerful. You can have a product that is not as differentiated, but if you position it well, you'll be able to, you know, sell it. So positioning is one thing for sure that I've learned is very important. Number two, the sales process. Because at the end of the day, the goal of marketing at the end of it all is to generate revenue, right? And so ensuring that there's a good sales process in place on the other end is going to lead to like actual results from marketing efforts. So just having that alignment between sales and marketing is really, really important, instead of just shipping leads that, you know, they don't really can get value from. And then number three, experiment. Oh, I guess I have four, but I'll say experimentation. You have to keep trying different things. Like if something's not working, like look at the data, try things, switch it, try things. And everyone knows about A/B testing, but like you just have to do it so much and you have to like keep your eye on it and don't get comfortable. If you go like a couple weeks and the numbers aren't looking how they always look, like dig a little bit deeper. Another week passes. It's not okay. Change something. And you have to keep experimenting, like very active marketing, not passive marketing.
Cool. And you have a bonus lesson for us at number four. Let's hear it.
Number four is keep learning. It's something that I had to remind myself of. You have to keep learning. The world is changing all the time. So like keep learning.
Awesome. Shaheem, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you. Yes, you. It's 2024 and you don't have a podcast yet. Or maybe you do, but you're struggling with it. We will talk to you about that for free. We'll help you figure out where you might be stuck, whether or not we can help you for sure. But also, if you don't have one yet, what are the like first five things you can do? What are some great angles that you can use to make sure that your podcast was sustainable as you start to develop that moving forward? Those consults are free. So reach out at the link below in the show notes or email me at brian@podcastchef.com. Thanks. Hi, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to the show. Our website, podcastchef.com, has a ton of useful information about how to best leverage podcasting to help you solve some of your business goals and challenges. You can also schedule a demo where we can show you how specifically Podcast Chef and our team can help you with some of your podcasting goals. Thanks.